welcome to Radio Labyrinth, Season 7, Episode 3. Oh, man, what a week of television. What a week. Everything that we love and hate is on TV right now. We're going to talk about it a little bit tonight. We also have a guest that's going to pop in a few minutes. We're going to catch up with Josh Warren, friend of ours with Action Show Studios. He's also a local actor. What's the last thing we saw him in? I believe it was Season 1 of The Righteous Gemstones.
Yeah, he should be one of those muscle boys.
Really, do you think he could pull it off?
Yeah.
He's not a muscle boy, though.
So
he could still pull it off.
He could be the one guy that they're training to be a muscle boy.
I don't understand what that is all about. I mean, I kind of do, but I don't want to say because I don't want to get speculating on something because I'm not going to, you know, think negatively about it. But it's weird. It's really weird. But that show is weird, so who cares? It's a great show. But Josh Warren will be coming on. He and his company did a music video for the band Nashville Pussy. You guys remember Nashville Pussy?
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
My favorite song of theirs is Blowjob from a Rattlesnake, which is an old song. My mom used to date this guy back in the 90s before she passed away. His name was Bob. And he was into all sorts of weird music for his age. He was 50 at the time, I guess, or 51 or whatever. But he got me into them. And he also liked Motorhead, and he was a big Van Morrison fan. But they have a song. I forget the name of it. I'm looking it up right now, in Peacemaker. And they made a music video for it. So it's Come On, Come On is the name of the song. So we'll talk to him about that and also catch up with him and see what's going on. Let's see. I want to thank Dustin's brother, who you guys will hear this in a couple of days when it drops. Radio Labyrinth presents Dustin's brother, Browen.
Browen.
Why can't I say it? I say Browen. I can't say names. I can't even say, I don't even know. Is that a German name or an Irish name?
It's from the Bible. I don't know. My mom was real big on naming the other kids in the family with religious names. I was just named after Dustin Hoffman, so after The Graduate.
Cool. He's Dustin's bro, so he's Browen.
You were named after Dustin Hoffman. Well, we did speak to him, and that episode will be coming out now. The reason we spoke to him isn't just because he's Dustin's brother. It's because he's a lead guitarist for a band known as St. Paul and the Broken Bones, and he has lots of great stories to share with us about opening for the Rolling Stones, meeting some of the Rolling Stones, if not all of them, and, of course, hanging out with Elton John. And he's an artist and all-around interesting cat. So thank you, Dustin, for inviting your brother onto the show.
Yeah, no problem. I've been trying to get him on since I started, you know, for like the last year we've been trying to get him, but
all of our brothers have now been on the show. Your brother was on.
Yeah, that's true.
My brother was on for my birthday episode.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I guess we need to get more siblings. Dustin, do you have any more siblings or just the two of you?
No, I've got a
sister somewhere.
Yeah, I got a sister.
Mm-hmm. Is she going to come on? What? Is she in a band?
No. She's not in a band. She's a business owner and a good one.
Okay. What kind of business?
Disaster restoration was the, fire, water damage cleanup.
Okay.
Yeah. See, I can extract some cool stories out of that. That's how I got my copy of an R. Kelly tape back in the day.
She found an R. Kelly tape?
Yeah, we did water damages, and one of them, you know, you go out at 3 o'clock in the morning because somebody's water heater breaks, and we went up to.
You sure it was water?
Yeah. I double checked.
Was it?
But hey, we went to Roswell. There's a football player up there. Man, I can't remember his name right now, but he had a basement that was flooded, and we were moving stuff out, and all of a sudden, one of the guys comes up, and he was like, "Hey, this videotape fell out, and it says R. Kelly on the front of it." And I was like, no. And we have to take everything back to the shop and clean it and bring it back. So I had to make sure the tape was functional.
Right.
Yeah. And
what was on it?
Drip, drip, drip.
It begins with the letter P.
Oh, yeah. That tape. Okay. I hope you got rid of it.
And it ends all over their face. Yes. Yes, I did. I didn't make copies of it and bootleg them online or anything like that.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
So you didn't find the infamous tape, just a tape of R. Kelly pissing on somebody's face.
I don't know if it was the original one or not, but I mean, that's exactly what it was.
That's sad. That's sad that you got to do that.
And it looked like it'd been, you know, it was one of those that had been copied 15 times. You could see all the track lines, you know, you could barely make out what it was, but knowing the history, you know, and this was 12 years ago.
You can take it to sleep.
Yeah. You just, you know, close your eyes and
pour out your tongue. given a little yellow discipline, to use Jim Norton's words. So Josh will be joining us, I believe, in about 10 minutes or so. So we'll talk to him. But before we get to talking, unless we want to keep talking about urine, stuff like that, I don't think the audience wants us to. So we'll stop. Urine is a way you can treat illness. I've been reading a lot about it.
That jellyfish stings.
Jellyfish stings, yes, but I've been reading that people are taking or drinking their own urine to ward off things that we're not allowed to mention in relation to therapeutics.
But I do it anyway because it's sterile and I like the taste.
I mean, the taste goes without standing. I mean, not with, you know, the taste is good. The taste is it's unique. It's if you like liver, I don't know. It's very metallic tasting.
How do they know?
Utilitarian. How do I know? Everybody knows what pee tastes like.
No, right? They don't.
Oh, come on.
Sick fuck.
But there are people, there are dumb people that are using it to treat certain diseases and ailments and things. So we're not going to say which one, but it's not lupus.
If you mix horse dewormer in with it, then it's like a nice tea or coffee.
It is horse dewormer in urine, not horse urine. Cause you know, I mean, don't be gross, but ivermectin in your own whiz. mixed together in a concoction. Now, if you heat that up and you add a little of the hydroxychloroquine to it,
sweeter than you.
You have a sweet cocktail that does nothing but kill worms and maybe kill other worms. But I mean, if you kill worms, wouldn't they be cool to? No, okay, we're going to get gross. Let's talk about TV, TV and or movies. I was excited today. I got one of my tweets got liked by Mario Cantone.
All right.
So that made me happy because Sally Struthers was on Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal podcast, two episodes with her because they talked to her for so long. And she does great impersonations. Who knew, right? And she's knocking them out of the park. And she did one of somebody that she did one of Katharine Hepburn, who she met when she used to visit Ruth Gordon. Now, if you got to go Google them, go ahead and come back. But Ruth Gordon is in a bunch of movies, probably
Harold and Maude.
Harold and Maude for the cinephile out there, but any which way but loose. She's Clint Eastwood's mother.
You goddamn baboon.
Goddamn baboon. No respect, no pride.
I loved her in that. And she's also in one of my favorite movies by the poor Polish director who can't come back to the United States because he was railroaded. Roman Polanski.
Polanski.
Give him a break. His wife was killed.
Yeah. So 5 years later, he had sex in a hot tub with an underage girl. I get it. You get upset about things and that's what happens. But anyway, and that's why he can't come back to the United States, not because of, you know, bad movies. But he made a really good film with Mia Farrow and Charles Grodin is in it briefly. Of course, it's called Rosemary's Baby. You guys ever see that movie?
Love that movie.
Good film. Oh, scary. Satan stuff's the stuff that scared me more than like, you know, like demonic shit always scared me more than like the knife wielding guy and everything. So anyway, before we get to talking about, I don't even know why I went down there. What were we talking about? Sally Struthers does great impersonations. So anyway, I said, yeah, they all sounded pretty good. And then he liked the tweet. And aren't you glad I told that story? I felt like sometimes I feel like I'm turning into my dad telling a story. And that, which is fine, because eventually he gets to the end of the story, but it takes a while to get there.
Mario Cantone is hilarious on the Christmas episode of Gilbert.
Every year he's so funny. My God, is he funny. And it's non-PC, and it's very rare to hear that kind of humor these days. Same with Sally Struthers, who does a very problematic Asian affectation on her voice when she's talking about her Japanese hairdresser.
Google Raging Bullwinkle if you want to see Mario Cantone in action.
Raging Bullwinkle. What is that from?
It was from some comedy show, I think on HBO or something. But
Bad TV, wasn't it?
No, because it had language in it and stuff, so it had to be on HBO or one of the pay channels.
I remember,
like, you suck Mr. Peabody's cock.
I remember that
hardcore TV.
Hardcore TV, yeah.
That's Mario Cantone.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Yeah, I love that. I got it brought up. I'm going to watch it as soon as we're done. I remember that. All right, before Josh comes on to talk about Peacemaker, which is really my favorite show that's airing right now, a new show for sure. Let's talk about the Book of Boba Fett. Are we all caught up on the Book of Boba Fett? Everybody watched today's episode that dropped? All right. I've been on the fence about Book of Boba Fett because I don't think it lives up to The Mandalorian, which, you know, preceded it on Disney Plus, but it's the same showrunners. It's the same people that did The Mandalorian. I'm just not getting it. And this episode didn't help me want to continue watching it. Now, Jeff, you love it, and I'm not going to argue with you about it, but what is it about it that you like?
Everything. It's Jon Favreau playing with Star Wars figures.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Robert Rodriguez in there doing shit.
Now, Dustin, you said you were going to give it one more chance. What did you think of the most recent episode, episode 4?
I like the episode. It's kind of going back to the, you know, the big story. I guess the main story is the gangster story. You know, taking everything over. That was cool. Him at, like last episode, we were, you know, it was kind of sudden that they got rid of all the Tuskens, but this episode he kind of got his revenge. But it was the bikers.
It was very brief.
But it was cool to see Slave One.
It was a flashback.
Yeah, I know. He's in the back to tank.
Yeah.
You know, they're giving you the backstory. I like that. But the thing that bothered me is, so he and Fennec go to the Sarlacc. They show you the spoiler alert, by the way, but they go to Jabba's palace because Boba Fett wants to get Slave One out of the hangar there or whatever and get his ship back. So they go there, they find out how many people are in there, they go in, shoot everybody, and they get the ship and leave. So he wants to go to the Sarlacc pit to find his armor. Now, why would I find fault with him wanting to go to the Sarlacc pit and find his armor?
I don't know. That was the last place he consciously knew where it was.
But the Jawas took it. He didn't know that the Jawas took it.
He was unconscious. If Boba Fett was conscious, there's no way the Jawas would have taken his armor in the first place.
I thought he woke up while the Jawas were taking shit from him.
I mean, I think he was exhausted from climbing out of the sand, and then he didn't know. I don't think he, plus between that and then immediately getting picked up by the Tuskens and drug across the desert, I think his memory's probably jogged, or, you know, a memory's probably messed up from losing the armor, and he doesn't really know that the Jawas have, or we know that he doesn't. And that was another thing about this episode. They've now, in this episode, we've crossed into the Mandalorian.
Okay.
Yeah, because, you know, she was chasing the Mandalorian. You know, she gets shot. You know, those explosions he was seeing in the air and then finding her, that was from season one of the Mandalorian. And, you know, so now that it's coming to a head. I mean, I got a feeling, especially from, you know, of course, from the soundtrack of the last 2 minutes of this episode, you know, Mandalorian's coming. You know, there's either him or, you know, other Mandalorians, because, you know, like she said, if you've got money, we can hire an army.
Yeah.
All right. So one last thing I have, and I think this is nitpicking, of course. She'd never been on that ship. Fennec had never been on Slave One. But she knows what button to push. Maybe it's the same on all ships. But
he told her what kind of ship it was. And so she knew of the type of ship that it was.
So she knew that there was a huge explosive device and she had to just push this button.
Yeah.
I thought about that too. But I mean, again, I don't know if the people there know ships like people know car models and they know, you know, what their ones can do and what others can't. Although I thought that seismic charge was kind of specific to Boba Fett.
Didn't he use them in the asteroid belt in Empire Strikes Back?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And yeah, so
he Attack of the Clones.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Well, it blew the shit out of the Sarlacc pit.
The Mandalorian ship is the same kind of ship.
No, it was a different type of ship.
Yeah, that's what I thought too.
Temuera is how you say his name, right? Temuera Morrison. Mm-hmm. He's great. He's fantastic in that role. Ming-Na Wen, she's great too. I don't know. Jennifer Beals doesn't really do anything for me. I mean, she's, you know, got those long worm things from her head and big boobs, but that's cool. So far, all the guest actors have been good, though. And I like the mayor's assistant, too. What's his name, Jeff, the comedian?
David Pasquese.
Yeah. He's funny. All right. So I guess we'll keep watching it, and we'll catch up with you guys a little later about that show. Josh Warren, welcome to Radio Labyrinth. Welcome back to Radio Labyrinth. How have you been, man?
What's happening? I've been pretty good for the most part.
For the most part? What's for the most part?
Well, we experienced a death in our family, so.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
It was pretty sad. But with that being said, I'm just trying to do things to honor my mom as much as possible and lean into my art as she would. So
I see that you do a lot of drawing and you posted on Instagram,
Josh's underscore draw rings. It was just a rip off of Simon from SNL.
Of course.
I like to do drawings.
So what are you drawing a lot these days? So you do a lot of like pop culture stuff, but you also do like artsy stuff too, right?
Well, I it's mostly superheroes or Star Wars or Illuminati symbology.
I see that you have a lot of Illuminati shit, which I like, because I know where you're coming from with that. All that conspiracy stuff. And I just found a new channel on YouTube where the guy's talking about the Atlanteans and how they colonized the world and had, you know, blue hair or blue eyes and blonde hair. I'm like, yeah, this is what happened.
Well, Fogler told me recently, he was like the moon.
Yeah.
Is actually a space shuttle and it's an egg and it cracked open. And that's what brought us the Atlanteans and the lizard people.
Now, this is actor Dan Fogler. Yeah, make sure you specify that so people can seek him out.
he's got a new comic book coming out, Moon Lake.
Moon Lake?
Yeah, he's been working with Heavy Metal Magazine.
Oh, nice. There's lots of tits in it.
Yeah.
Or is heavy metal like PC now?
It's still heavy metal. Like their Instagram page is awesome.
Yeah.
I edited some like little cheap motion comics basically for Dan.
Mm-hmm.
The heavy metal like put out on their Instagram. I was like, yeah, I used to watch that.
Sequel wasn't very good, but it was cool to get up at 4 in the morning when I was in junior high and watch it on HBO before my mom went to work. Gonna see some cartoon tits
and the Blue Oyster Cult orb.
Yeah, and hear a lot of Sammy Hagar and Montrose. So, are you doing any acting? And now, season 2 of Righteous Gemstones is started. They're 3 or 4 episodes in, and I know that you were in you were pretty funny in that first season as a motivational speaker or something. I forget the character.
I was basically filling in for Adam Devine's. So he's the youth pastor, you know.
Yeah.
And he had to step down because Satan was getting to him or whatever.
Right.
And he was like, "So this is your new leader?" I was the manager of a GameStop.
That's right.
And I guess I'm still the youth pastor, but I don't know because I'm not in this season. So.
Well, they didn't shoot in Atlanta this season, right?
Well, we shot that in Wilmington.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, all of his stuff is like all over Wilmington. I'm in a thing called. Did I tell you guys about the Jamestown Project?
No, what's the Jamestown Project?
So it's this crazy homage to the making of. It gets complicated. The Exorcist. Because apparently a bunch of like weird paranormal stuff happened on The Exorcist.
Is this a movie or a series?
This is a movie. And I don't know when it's coming out. Like it was supposed to come out like before the pandemic. Then the pandemic hit and they're like, we're not going to release it until we can get it in front of a live theater audience.
Okay.
Perform it all in live theater. But like they want the theatrical release. It's got Russell Crowe in it. I play a character in it. It's like this homage to The Exorcist. They're like, all right, it's time for you to do the pigeon scene. I hardly ever actually read the scripts. I'm like, pigeon scene, what are you talking about? They were like, all right, well, follow us. So we're on this lot in Wilmington at Gemstones, Screen Gems. And like Molochs are everywhere because it's The Exorcist. And I was like, oh, you guys have Moloch statues. They were like, excuse me? And I was like, Moloch, that's that big owl that you got a statue of. I was like, you know, he's the patron saint of Hollywood. Because just research Moloch and you'll know why.
Well, Moloch is on top of the Adult Swim, Swim building in Midtown. The owl, Moloch the owl. That's what they worship at that place that Alex Jones infiltrated.
Bohemian Grove.
Bohemian Grove, I broke into it. I'm an American.
I was the first person to sneak in and get their mock ceremony where they pretended to kill children and burn them in effigy.
You got all these Republicans dressing up like cross-dressers and doing improv shows. It's Satan.
Yeah, over there's where they keep all the body bags in Madison, Georgia. So when they have a big bunch of dead people, that's where they're going to have them all and bury them there.
That was my bad.
That was a good Jesse.
Well, that Madison shit's real.
I know. I saw the episode with Jesse, and they also had Oliver Stone's kid on that show for some reason.
So, but anyway, they flew live pigeons in my face on that movie.
Oh, nice.
Like live pigeons.
Did they bite you or hit you with their beaks?
No, I just got some like wind slaps, and I was like, am I going to get stunt paid for this? And they were like, no.
No.
And you wouldn't get bird food. And was like, should I be getting stunt paid for this? And they were like, you agreed to do it. Like, what do you do?
How's the campaign coming along?
It's good. We're down to, we've got three episodes edited that are getting scored currently with a gentleman by the name of Steve Locke Franks.
Okay.
From Atlanta Music 4 Film.
Okay.
So he's doing the original score for us. And then we've got the last two episodes that are being edited concurrently. And then those are going to go off to get scored. And then we should be airing on the Fantasy Network the first five episodes sometime in February or March, I'd assume.
You don't need that guard role fulfilled still, do you?
So the hopes are people go to the Fantasy Network, they like it, they watch it, and then the people who subscribe to the Fantasy Network basically like upvote projects.
Uh-huh.
And the Fantasy Network is supposedly like champion crowdfunders for different shows of up to like $500,000 for their original programming. And then like, the cool thing is too, it's like they don't own our show.
Mm-hmm.
We still own it. We can distribute it any which way from Sunday, but they're like a streaming platform specifically for like independent fantasy show projects. A lot of dungeon, like everything's basically like, this is about Dungeons and Dragons and role playing in real life, which is what our show is basically about too. But
right.
The hopes are it becomes popular on Fantasy Network, and then we get funding, and then we can shoot that scene with you in it and actually pay you to be in it.
I would do it for free, maybe.
You have to get some pigeons flown in your face.
I'll do it. I'll do it. Pigeons, crows, whatever the fuck. So Ass put together a music video, Action Show Studios, put together a music video. Were you commissioned to do this or did you do it on your own for a song called Come On, Come On by Nashville Pussy, who's an old school metal band from the 90s, pretty much.
Shane Morton called me.
Okay.
And he was like, hey, man, I got this friend Ryder, and they're trying to do a music video, like really low budget, but they're basically going to try to string a bunch of Peacemaker footage, cat videos, and explosions together. And I was like, I got the right guy for you, which he's referring to me.
Right.
And he was like, you think you can do it? I was like, yeah, I guess. I don't know. This sounds nuts. So I ended up calling Ryder, and she tells me, she was like, yeah, I just want, like, at some point in time, I want to be able to, like, fly up into the air in some music video and then just explode over the audience. And I was like, okay. Uh-huh. I was like, well, I consider myself a low-budget Michael Bay, so. And she loved that. Like, she reached out to James Gunn and was like, hey, can you send us footage for us to be able to make this music video? And he was like, why don't you guys just rip it from the trailer? HBO says something. Oh, well.
I like that.
So, like, we got James Gunn's permission. So now we're all, like, within 2 degrees of James Gunn, fellas.
There you go.
We got James Gunn's permission to steal his footage and put it into a stolen cat video, music video that's just explosions and fire. Constant, like every symbol I put, like fire raising up the sides of the screen.
It's good. So, it's really, really good.
It's I think it's the craziest thing I've ever edited.
It's a cool song too. I like it.
Yeah,
I love the music it's just called Peacemaker. I love the music in Peacemaker.
When Peacemaker was going through those albums, I was like, Tim loves all those albums.
I love all of them. The ones I know, there were a couple in there I didn't know. But, you know, I liked that music back in the 80s, unfortunately. But I'm not going to be, that was 35 years ago. I can live with it.
John Cena, like, nails it, too.
Oh, hell yeah. So you watched it? You're into it?
Yeah. I've caught up. And I think, like, It really turned my opinion around on John Cena. Mm-hmm. I hated him as a wrestler.
Yeah, he was kind of a terrible. I mean, his kid, you don't see me, and the baseball, the Padres hat, and the the jorts.
He was like a giant Limp Bizkit lead singer.
Yeah, that's exactly what he was. He was that rap rock thing from the early 2000s. You don't see me,
and he's wearing Bobby Hill shorts.
Yeah, damn.
Short pants.
Bobby. I didn't like him, but his character evolved, I guess. But he's good. He's like The Rock in that he can be a draw.
And he's actually, like, good at acting. Whereas, like, right. Some of those guys, it's like, I came all the way down to the ring, Tim. Just seems like they're reading off of a talk.
Oh, yeah. Hogan can't act at all.
Yeah, you remember Thunder in Paradise?
Yeah, no, I can't forget it.
It was like they were the A-Team, him and Sting.
Oh, God.
And who also can't act. It was like they were the A-Team, but they were on a boat. like a cigarette boat.
He was on the A-Team as a guest. He was friends with Mr. T, and they had served in Nam together.
Hulk Hogan and Nam.
Hey, brother, you're the A-Team, brother. I need you, brother.
Brother.
I loved the A-Team, though. And so, of course, at that time, I watched it. But the only movie that the only character Hulk Hogan's ever done in a movie that was good was Thunderlips, because he was playing Hulk Hogan.
Or that one where he was the nanny from the future.
You mean the nanny?
Oh, he's like a RoboCop looking video box cover. Yeah.
That's how he became the nanny. Was it called the Manny?
I forget what it's called. Shit.
But I remember there was a scene, like, and he's basically playing himself in that, and they're like, he, like, does something, and these guys are like, these bikers are like, hey, man, what the hell? And Hulk's like, what are you gonna do? You gonna hit me? And they were like, no, we're gonna sue you. It was like at that time in the 90s when everybody was suing everybody. Court shows were all the rage.
Right.
Suburban Commando.
Yeah, who's the main actor in that film? Isn't it
Christopher Lloyd and Shelley Duvall. Yeah.
Yeah. How the fuck do you get Christopher Lloyd in a movie with Hulk Hogan? I guess you just said here's some money. Do you want some money?
This is probably this is at the same time as Roger Rabbit. He was terrifying in Roger Rabbit.
Oh yeah.
There was a bunch of conspiracy videos about Christopher Lloyd and how all the characters in his movies are based on some sort of demon. And you can't find it anymore. This was from when YouTube didn't censor anything like that. But they have
this, wish they still shouldn't.
I know, but they had this great video about Christopher Lloyd is associated with the occult. He's an actor, so I don't buy that. You know what I mean? You're an actor, but you're not like a dumb actor. And I think most actors are dumb. Not to be, dumb, but just not into all sorts of stuff like that. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, we were talking about Moloch earlier.
Okay, he's predictive programming, like Back to the Future predicted 9/11 and all other sorts of crazy shit.
Yeah. There's the clearing in Terminator 2 where the truck
right
says 9 feet 11 inches on it. Tim, now you can't tell me that James Cameron isn't behind 9/11.
Right. And Matt Groening, because there's no bathroom in the World Trade Center.
You have a bathroom in that thing? No, just crab juice and cloth cover.
Crab juice or Mountain Dew? Ew, crab juice.
Mountain Dew or crab juice?
Oh, jeez. I'll take a crab juice.
All right, so the show is Peacemaker. The video is Come On, Come On. The band is Nashville Pussy. The production house is Action Show Studios, where you can what can people get from Action Show Studios, Josh?
Well, they can I like to think of us as like a creative production company. So like you have like projects that you want to put together and fund, we can figure out ways to do it at an incredibly low rate, as well as like if you're a business but like, and you want to do training videos, HR videos, internal videos, commercials for the internet or television broadcast, we can do all that. But we all the guys and gals that I work with, we all have comedy backgrounds, so we know how to make things like, you know, fun and funny and quality. So like, if you don't want to bore your employees with your mundane, everyday, run-of-the-mill inspirational video, you can make one that's fun, that they actually want to watch and learn from. It makes learning fun.
Well, Josh, where can people find it?
ActionShowStudios.com, and all of our socials are at Action Show Studios, except for Twitter, were Action Show Studs because they couldn't fit studios. So and then Nashville Pussy is at Nashville_Pussy, and they've been tweeting out that video left and right, so hopefully people watch the video.
And we'll share it and put the link in the show notes and everything. And of course, if you're watching it on YouTube, there'll be a link for you to click on. Josh, thank you for coming on. You got to come back on sooner and let us know when the campaign is ready, and we'll promote the hell out of it, dude.
Yeah. Are you guys going to talk about Boba Fett tonight?
We already did. Now, are you watching that? You can jump in real quick.
I love it. I know that it's been getting a lot of backlash. A lot of people have been like, man, I'm really sick of this show or whatever. Yeah. And there's parts I do hate, which is the weird hover.
Power Rangers. Everyone hated the Vespa Power Space Rangers. I didn't think of Power Rangers, but you just nailed it.
It takes a couple eyes to look at it. Oh, I'm sorry. Man, I made myself look this way. Like, I don't know. I hate those guys. I hope they all get eaten by that Rancor. Well, that Rancor's dope. And what is it? The giant Wookiee chrysanthemum or whatever his name is.
Black chrysanthemum.
So what's his deal? Didn't he like fight Obi-Wan Kenobi and survive or something?
Yeah, in the in the comics, and he. Have you seen the episode that dropped today?
No, I haven't watched today's yet.
Okay, he's in it, and he has a little. Yeah, he's doing in the comics. Him and Boba Fett were partners, just like Han and Chewie. So I think that's kind of coming to fruition in this next episode. So
I hope so, because like I was like when that was Fat Slug Cuts. We're like, oh, they're gift to you. I was like, man, that guy's gonna join the team. That's gonna be a lot cooler than those cyberpunk Power Rangers. So yeah,
and the pig people. The what are they called? The Gamorrean.
The Gamorrians.
I'd like to be one of those 10 guys that has to lug around two huts.
They're also like so like.
Yeah, what if they have a hover thing?
They're so softly round.
Yes.
They're like giant toddlers.
Yeah.
I was hoping they would be Siamese. They were just like fused together, but I think they're not.
Whoa. Oh, you're talking about the huts? I mean,
yeah, the huts. I was hoping they're just one glob with two heads.
Yeah, that's the skin. And then it's like, what do you think, sister?
My problem with my main problem with the show, and I have some, but I think it's nitpicking because overall I like it to where I want to keep watching it. But my main problem is that those banthas, these things are woolly mammoths, and they're riding them around in a desert in a planet that has two suns and no water.
You don't know their anatomy.
They're about as fast as a slug.
Yeah.
Like, why would you pick the slowest animal in the hottest desert to ride?
Teach those dogs to lizard dogs how to ride. Why don't you just get a speeder? Yeah.
Why do they just use those speeders later? I didn't like how they actually humanize the sand people though.
Right.
Because you know, like we just knew the sand people to be crazy barbaric savages. And now it's like, no. They're living beings too, because we don't know what's under that weird bamboo mask of theirs.
You don't know, do you?
Yeah, like I think they're probably hideous.
Did they show them in the comic books without their
there's two different iterations of them in the comics. One is, you know, they're real like burned and disfigured, and then the other they just have kind of like Maori tattoos on a normal face, so there's not really a definitive
face. So they're like humanoids?
Yeah.
They're builders.
Like throw up talk.
Honestly, I think it's because the planet, I mean, I'll geek out here, but because the planet used to be a ocean planet before it dried up and they were original to the planet, I think it has to do with the lack of water. Now they changed their voice to that garbled mess. If they were talking underwater, you'd be able to hear them more normally.
Oh.
I like how they're bringing in the pikes and spice.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because, like, spice was always the thing in, like, the Clone Wars show. And all those.
That's also from Dune.
No, that was just him, George Lucas, ripping off spice Dune as a commodity in space from Dune in the first place.
I thought, like, spice was, like, a drug. There, like in Star Wars,
in the first episode when they showed it,
like everybody's tooting and smoking spice, you get all crazy going to those.
Everybody hanging out with what's his name, Bebo,
Max Rebo.
He's the only pianist on the entire fucking planet,
and you know he's playing with his feet, right?
Yeah. Blue elephant guy. They just, they called up Luke. You still have that Max Rebo thing laying around? Yeah, I have it in my closet. You can borrow it.
You know the name of the music that they play too, right?
No, what is it?
It's called Jizz Music.
Yeah, that's Lucas.
Literally. Canon. Jizz.
J-I-Z-Z?
J-I-Z-Z. Yeah.
Hey, let's all go get jizzed and
let's just change one letter and it'll sound great. Nobody will ever think anything of it.
Yeah, jizz is just something that we talk about. You know, it's not semen. It's just jizz. Jizz is like jazz, but jizzier. You know, because it's a jizz thing. Jizz.
Show me your jizz hands.
Just rub an ice cube all over me. I'm all spiced up.
I have the death penalty on 7 systems.
I'll be careful.
You'll be jacked off.
My friend doesn't like you.
I don't like you either.
Quiet down. I'm trying to listen to jizz.
That's not the jizz you're looking for.
That's not the jizz we're looking for. Move along.
I did not know that it was called jizz.
I was watching Boba Fett with Julie, and like we ended up watching it twice because like the first time she was like, I don't think I really paid enough attention or gave the show any credit, because she's not up like totally up to speed on everything Star Wars. She hasn't seen it 40,000 times like I have. I was basically like, you don't understand. People have been waiting 20 years for him to crawl out of that Sarlacc pit. 40 years.
Put me in the bank. What's it called? The
back to tank.
Put him in the back to tank.
It's filled with Bactine. You know, if you just go buy Bactine and fill your tub and, you know, your arm gets cut off, you can just go lay in your tub and it'll grow back.
I like the first 2 episodes, he's basically like just running around in his pajamas and
dances with sand people. Too bad he didn't find the hot
dances
one.
Dances with Peskins, is that what you said? Yeah, on the text?
What's that?
On the text, you were like dances with Peskins.
Yes, dances with Peskins.
Yeah, they had the like
bunker.
Yeah, their form performance with the big dance at the end was pretty moving.
I'm surprised that they didn't make love to him. And, you know,
he just wakes up from his lizard trance, and he's just every orifice is just a Tuscan.
That was so crazy too. The peyote lizard.
Yeah, let's put the peyote lizard in our nose and listen to jizz.
Just pour sand all over me.
Sorry. Did I just bring the show to a crash?
Pour some sand on me.
In the name of jizz.
I'm spiced, squeaky clean.
David Dubek is the, remember the Dubeks? Those are the lizard things that the storm people, the stormtroopers rode on Tatooine.
Well, that's the thing that Mando learned how to ride one and conquer the Dubeks.
It's another fucking thing on that planet. Yeah, we don't need a speeder. We have this giant, slow salamander that we can ride around on. The Gila monster. Well, why don't they race the Dubeks versus the, what are the big things called? The Banthas.
Bantha.
My money's on the Gubeks, dude.
Yeah.
Those Gubeks move a lot faster than the Banthas, but maybe the Gubeks tire out soon.
Yeah, probably. But they're not covered in woolly mammoth fur. I thought they smelled bad.
On the outside.
It's Kenny G. Smooth jizz. Tatooine, the number one station for smooth jizz. Every radio station on Tatooine starts with a T. That has to be their call sign. So you're listening to T-Jizz. Tatooine's home of smooth jizz.
And coming up next is the Irregular Guys for the next 18 hours this morning.
I wish I knew a name of it. The Dune Sea Steve.
Take that, Southside.
Steve. Yeah, come on. I'm a sand guy.
Yeah, just on.
Be at the strip club in Moss Isley.
All right,
dude.
That's great. Thank you very much for that. I miss you guys. I love you all.
We love you, man. And condolences on your family, man. And yes. We've all been there. So,
thank you very much. I appreciate it. Sorry to damper the mood right off the bat.
That's okay, man, because I'll be giving away all sorts of tickets. I'll be giving away tickets to see the Max Rebo Jizz Band this weekend at Moss Isley. Yeah, come on. It's Dune Sea Steam. Now, this is very regional.
I like the idea that he can talk to, give the breaking points.
But everything else He plays musical chairs with you, and if you don't make it, he hits you with that stick. All right, Josh, thanks a lot, man. Have a great night. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, peace.
We don't really need to delve into too much. Peacemaker is a great show. It's a lot of fun. You have John Cena, who is, of course, Peacemaker. His father is played by Robert Patrick, who's a great actor. You know him from Terminator 2 and tons of other things.
When he borrowed that box of ZD from Peacemaker.
Yeah.
It'd be in big trouble.
Doing a good job, Davey. Is that Frank Sinatra Jr.? What do you think? There's a resemblance. He plays Augie Smith, who is John Cena's father. But what a great cast. You got Danielle Brooks, who was, what was her name, Tasty on Orange is the New Black?
Yeah.
Tasty.
She is really good in it. I'm very surprised by her character because it's one of those, we need to have one of these, well, we'll combine it all. And it's not like that. She's a good actress to begin with, and she's funny. So, you know, as far as I'm concerned, she's one of the better characters. Steve Agee is in it. He was in something else recently. Oh, he was in the movie. They're all in the movie. Really, really good cast.
Take after him, though, and dye your beard.
Yeah. I love that scene where there's a funny scene where we'll talk more about it. Well, how about we do when the season's finished, we'll do a recap and really dive into it.
We'll wrap up.
Yeah. The only character I don't like is Harcourt because it's him, kick-ass chick, and it's, you know, that's been done to death, as every other trope has, but she's grown on me since the first episode. So anyway, I highly recommend it. I hope you guys enjoy that show. Before we do our staff picks and stuff like that, I wanted to talk about the final season of The Expanse. I had a problem with it, but then I watched it again and I kind of get what happens and I understand what happens. I just wanted more. Because there's so much more, and I want to read the books now. Have you, any of you guys read the books?
No.
I read the first book, but it's, but yeah, it's so far from, that was first season stuff. The ending does have that web series that they said was going to be connected with the ending of it, so it may fill in some gaps.
Yeah.
For you, if you
got to watch it on your computer, though.
Yeah.
Jeff, what were you going to say?
You can't watch it on your TV. I'm glad they left it open for more. So maybe somebody could make more eventually.
Yeah. And maybe they'll make movies or something like that. Yeah. I like the fact that there's spoilers galore here, but I do like that, that the son lived, Marco's son, Marco and Naomi's son lived. And then he got off the ship before, Marco turned into Fanta. And that was some weird. I didn't know what was going on. I'm like, what the fuck? He's turning into Fanta. All in all, I thought it was an amazing series. I really got into it late, but then I just, consumed it quickly. And I liked the Duarte character, the Martian, the Mars Navy commander who's on Laconia. Yeah. There's a lot of lore there. So I'm going to go back and just read the books. And, I'll go all the way through. There's 9 books, I think, or 8.
Yes, 9 of them.
9 of them. I'm going to read them and, probably listen to them. I want to know what happens. That's such an interesting universe, and I want to know who they're going to end up fighting.
I tried to go ahead a little bit and get some spoilers, but I decided not to play that game. So anyway, that's the end of The Expanse, and hopefully that'll leave it open for movies. Kind of like that Battlestar Galactica. Now they're doing a series and a movie, and you don't know if they're going to be tied in together, and they won't be at all tied into the Ronald Moore universe that was created in the 2000s. It won't be, they'll probably be more like the original series. Don't you think, Jeff?
I hope so.
You know, where they actually have aliens in their universe and the Cylons aren't necessarily, I don't know what they're going to do. I really don't, but I'll probably watch it because I like Battlestar Galactica. Justified is coming back with Rayland in Miami, which is where he started out, right? And then before he went back to Kentucky. Kentucky. He's going back to Miami, and the series will be set there. So it's kind of a reverse Dexter. Daniel Radcliffe is playing Weird Al in a new biopic. I don't understand it, but I love it.
Was Aaron Paul busy?
Why did you say Aaron Paul?
Because he played Weird Al in that Weird Al Behind the Music, where Patton Oswalt was Dr. Demento.
Oh, that's right.
I'm the weird one.
I don't know. I think that's cool.
I thought it was cool. He said that he told all his fans that when he made his first movie, UHF, that like clockwork, every 33 years, he was going to be putting out a new movie. And by God, he's standing behind it.
I love UHF. A lot of people don't like it, but I think it's
it's hilarious.
Especially when you go get high in a construction site and then bring Whippets into the theater with you. And then King of the Hill, in addition to Mike Judge bringing Beavis and Butthead back with a movie and a series, King of the Hill is making a comeback. And
Greg Daniels, too, the original.
Yeah. So that'll be cool. I hope that they're not going to change the characters much, I don't believe, right?
I was kind of hoping they'd age him up. I mean, get one way to get around Luann, you know.
Yeah.
Because they could more easily write her out, and then you know, just seeing Hank deal with, you know, everything that's a little more current would be hilarious.
Well, we'll see. That's the way it is. Can't wait, though. I love Beavis and Butthead, and I loved King of the Hill.
I can't wait to watch more episodes of King of the Hill.
Staff picks mine real quick. Sally Struthers. I was on Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal podcast. Two episodes because they talked for so long. She's no holds barred. Now I'm going to go listen to her on WTF with Mark Maron, because she doesn't pull punches, and she's interesting and funny, and she does impressions, and she tells a great story about being she and another actress were in the first female version of The Odd Couple on Broadway. She wouldn't say who the first actress was that she worked with because she hated her. And I won't even give her name. I won't even put her name out there in the universe. And she just said this woman was a total bitch. So as soon as I got to work, I looked up who it was. It was Rita Moreno.
Wow, no way.
Yeah. I mean, just, and I was like, okay, makes sense. But she ended up doing, and I think a bunch more episodes with Brenda Vaccaro. But beside that, she was really good friends with Ruth Gordon, and I, like I said, I love Ruth Gordon. So anyway, that's my staff pick.
Mine's a podcast too, Fly on the Wall podcast.
Mm-hmm.
That Dana Carvey, David Spade podcast about SNL. Mm-hmm. Tina Fey is on this week's. It's really right. Good one.
That's next in my queue after I finish Operator, which I like.
Good recommendation too.
I remember those days. I never did it though.
My staff pick is a new show on Netflix called Archive 81.
I keep seeing previews for it. Is it good?
Yeah, I'm about four episodes in. If Midnight Mass was kind of based on Salem's Lot ideas, this is based on, I would say, Rosemary's Baby. Ooh. It's kind of cultish. A videographer who gets paid to go put all this video footage together and find out what happened in this damaged video footage. But in doing so, he sees, you know, people he knows in it, and it's from 20 years ago. It's real kind of jumps back and forth in time, and he doesn't realize how much he's tied into it personally. But it's really cool, real creepy. And it's a kind of a, the first two episodes are kind of a slower burn, but it really picks up in the third episode. But yeah, Archive 81 on Netflix.
Awesome.
Views, views, views.
Or.
I can snooze.
Snooze. Yeah, number one, views or snooze, Growing Belushi comes back tonight as we record this. That's about Jim Belushi and his pot farm.
I watched the first season. I'll watch it here and there. I mean, it's not something I got to sit and watch every week, but I'll watch it.
Yeah, it's a good show.
Yeah, I'll give it a views. I saw him in the preview. He said he said the only thing he's got to worry about now is ground squirrels and gophers. So that's his main problem. Everything else is gravy.
I wish we could get him on.
Yeah. Keep trying.
Yeah.
Number two, Fraggle Rock reboot. Back to Fraggle Rock comes back on HBO Max.
That's a snooze for me.
You're not going to let Gil views that?
Well, he won't care about it now.
It's still all Henson done, right?
Yeah.
I'll use it.
I want to see what happens. I liked the original Fraggle Rock.
I like the original Fraggle Rock, too. I don't know if I'm going to watch it now.
I'm going to give it a shot.
I love the old man. The old man was, he was the best part. One that played the bartender in Boondock Saints with the stuttering problem. Yeah.
Yeah. And number three, this is a weird show that I was bored the other day and I was flipping around looking for something to watch. And it just started on Peacock called Wolf Like Me with Josh Gad.
I like Josh Gad.
Oh, this guy, yeah.
Isla Fisher.
Fisher, yeah. Yeah, this looks pretty interesting. I'll give it a views because I saw the preview for it. It looked good.
What's it about, real quick?
I think maybe Isla Fisher is a werewolf.
Okay.
But I don't know. They don't say in the first episode. It kind of ends on a cliffhanger where she has to rush home before like the moon comes out or whatever it seems like.
You know, like Josh Gad's a single father who, you know, just lost his wife and he's trying to, you know, raise his kid. And I think, you know, they kind of worlds collide.
Yeah. He like, she like gets into a car accident with him in the first episode and that's how they meet.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's like attracted to him. And so she like decides to go out with him. And it turns out like she hasn't been out in like 11 years or something on a date or whatever. And it's everything sets up to her being like weird, really weird.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, just kind of rolling with it. It seems like it's going to be a fun show. Just from the first episode, I enjoyed it.
Cool.
Views. It's a views for me. I'm going to keep watching it.
I'm going to views it.
Yeah, views for me.
All right, everybody. Listen, you can subscribe to Radio Labyrinth on Facebook now. Go to our Facebook page at Radio Labyrinth and select podcast from the top bar and subscribe. That way you can mobile Facebook right now. And maybe later in the spring, it'll be on desktop, but you can listen to it through Facebook if you're not listening to it other places. If you are a subscriber to wherever, you know, on whatever podcast app you use, please go to YouTube and subscribe. That's even if you're not going to watch it, just go there, subscribe, like the videos if you give a chance, and check it out. Dustin puts a lot of work into the videos. They look really cool. They look professional, and it's fun to watch and views. You should views Radio Labyrinth podcast. You can follow us on social media. All those links and everything are in the show notes and on your screen or right below, so you can check all that out. If you'd like to become a Patreon member, go to patreon.com/Tim Andrews, and there's a bunch of different levels. If you come in at the producer level, after you've been active for a couple months, we'll send you a t-shirt and you can pick from anything you like in our store. So guys, thank you. And once again, don't forget this coming Wednesday, which will be the 26th, you can access our Radio Labyrinth Presents episode with Broen Lawler. Did I say it right that time?
Yep. Yes.
All right. That's Dustin's brother, but also the lead guitarist of St. Paul and the Broken Bones and an artist. And we had a lot of fun talking to him. That'll be our first of hopefully many conversations with him. So until next time, please remember to keep it canon.
Canon.
Is.